Father, we're so glad that you reign. You reign. And Father, you are our very own Father. Tonight, as we come before the mighty Word of God, we thank you for feeding your people, Father. Father, your Word is our food. Your Word is our meat tonight. Father, your Word is what we hunger for. You said in your Word, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Thank you that the Word is always anointed. The Word is filled with anointing, just waiting for us to believe tonight, to mix it with faith. Thank you, the Word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost tonight. He's our great helper. He's the one who helps us. Thank you for speaking to every heart in this place, every ear that's listening. Father God, every person listening through a live stream or some secondary medium, Father, whatever it is, if they're listening by a delayed broadcast, but Father, speak to every person who hears this message. Speak, Father God, by your Spirit, by your Word. Guide and direct them. Uplift hearts. Father God, we thank you that your Word always has the answer for what we seek. So thank you for all that you shall do, all that shall be wrought in our midst tonight. Thank you for giving us unction and utterance. And Father, we'll give you all of the glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, how many glad God's your Father? Amen. How many glad heaven's your home? Praise God. Hey, let's thank all of our frontline singers, our musicians. Let's thank all of them leading us right into the presence of God tonight. Don't you appreciate them? Praise God. You can have your seat. Thank you so very much. If you'll turn to Exodus 13. Tonight, it seemed good to continue what I was speaking about on Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, we spoke, and the title of our message Wednesday night was to train your spirit to follow the inward witness. That was the title of our message on Wednesday night. 4 days ago, we spoke, train your spirit to follow the inward witness. And of course, we shared all that we thought the Lord wanted us to share that night for that time. And yet we didn't feel like we were done there. And tonight it just seemed good on the inside just to finish that. Now you remember as we started that message, I started out by asking you a question. Is it hard sometimes? Have you ever experienced difficulty hearing from God? Have you ever had a situation where you needed to hear from the Lord and you're praying, all right? You're still not sure what the Lord wants you to do. Have you ever been in a situation, or is it just Brother Bill tonight, where you've prayed, you've read the Word, and you're praying about something that you need to do or not do or direction you need to take, and after you've prayed and read the Word, you're still not sure what direction to go in? Anybody ever been there? Yeah. But there, God has an answer tonight, and it is in training our spirit to follow the inward witness. The inward witness of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. And so we started. Now listen, to get the real context of what we're saying, it'd be good if you were able to go and listen to that message, rhema.tv, something like that, if you're watching live stream, or to go to the bookstore. And if you're here, go to the bookstore and get that message, because that message will give some context. I gave you not just three key principles, but a boatload of scripture on that night. We started with this first principle: faith begins where the will of God is known. And then we went to Exodus 13, and we talked about how God has always had a way to lead his people. And I'll not go through these scriptures in any detail, but just to highlight and to reference where we're coming from, we went to Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18, where God revealed his will to Israel. It was to lead them out of bondage. And not only was it to lead them out of bondage, he also revealed he had a promised land flowing with milk and honey for them. That was the revealed will of God. And faith begins where the will of God is known. And we talked about how Israel got over there in the wilderness, and they stopped operating in faith. When they couldn't find water, they didn't operate in faith. They operated in doubt and unbelief. When they didn't have meat, they operated in doubt and unbelief. But faith begins where the will of God is known. And there in Exodus 13, 17 and 18, it says that God led them with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of a cloud by day. All they had to do was look up into the sky. And when the pillar of fire moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. If that pillar of cloud went left, they went left. If that pillar of cloud went right, they went right. And you can see that, Exodus 13, 17 and 18, and then 20 to 22. You can see that. And so then we said, God's always had a way to lead his people. He's always had a way. He's always had a surefire way to lead his people. Throughout any era of time, throughout any generation, God has always led his people. And we said then, during the days of the prophet, the priest, and the king, well, just the prophet, the priest, and the king mainly had access to the Holy Spirit. And we said God had another way of leading his people through the lot, through the casting of the lot. And we took you to Proverbs 16. If you remember, we took you to Proverbs 16 there. And we looked there at Proverbs 16 and down there around verse 33, it says that the lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And we explained to you how the priest would have a pocket in his priestly garment. And in that pocket was what was called the Urim and the Thummim. And with the Urim and the Thummim, the priest would take either stones or sometimes it was pieces of wood. And the priest would, if it was a name of somebody they were praying about, the priest would carve the name on one of the stones. And then the stones would be put into like a vase. And then that would be rolled out. And the first name that came out was God's selection. But God would lead his people so that they wouldn't miss it, so that they would get it right. And the casting of the lot is how they were led. And then I took you over to the New Testament and to the book of Acts chapter 1. And we looked at verses 21 to 26, 26 in particular, Acts chapter 1, 26 in particular. And there at 26, we saw how Jesus' disciples in the upper room, they were praying to see who God would choose to replace Judas Iscariot. And Judas had betrayed the Lord, of course, and Peter saw in Scripture, reading the Scripture, that Judas's office should be filled. And so when Peter announced that to those in the upper room, they came up with two names, but they didn't know which of them to choose. And one brother named Justus and the other brother Matthias. But they both apparently met the same criteria, and they didn't know who to choose. In Acts chapter 1, verse 26 says, they cast lots and the lot fell to Matthias, and they chose Matthias. And the point I made after that to you is that after Acts chapter 1, verse 26, you never see that form of the leading of the Lord used again in the New Testament. With the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the birth of the church, the mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, aren't you glad for Acts chapter 2? Because with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God never spoke to people that way with the lot again. I said somebody might be here and might say, well, you know, I'd really prefer to go back to the days when there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because Hebrews 8:6 says that we as New Testament believers have a better covenant established upon better promises. It'd be the difference if we had to go to Dallas and somebody said, I got a horse and buggy. You can go to Dallas in a horse and buggy, or you can go in that new Maybach S650 or whatever that thing is. You can go in that new Maybach, or you can go in this horse and buggy. We choose the Maybach every single time. That's the biggest, best Mercedes they make. But what we have is, by comparison, it is so much greater because we have the Holy Ghost on the inside. So we said that first principle, faith begins where the will of God is known. And the second principle we gave you was, listen, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. And one of the main reasons he's there is to lead and guide us. He leads and guides us. And we went to John. Go to John real quick. We looked at John we went more in depth than we're doing tonight. I'm just skimming because I'm trying to get to the next part of the message. But these things have great context, and I don't want you to miss the context. You know, sometimes we give a text and we don't give the context, and we make a pretext for what we want to say. We're not trying to make a pretext for what we want to say. We want to give it in context. And so in the book of John, then in John 14 at verse 16, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be what? We'll be in you. Yes, thank you. We'll be in you, Jesus said. Jesus said, the day is coming. There's a day coming. Jesus was saying, there is a glorious day coming when the Holy Ghost will be down on the inside of you. And the Bible says right there, look at verse 20, John 14, 20. Jesus said, in that day, you'll know that I am in my Father and I in me and in you. What day, Jesus? What day? It is this day. It is the day in which you and I live. It is the day of the New Testament believer. Oh, aren't you glad? We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's down on the inside. I tell you, he's there to lead us and to guide us into all the affairs of life. And so in John 14, 26, it says, but the helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad about that? Over in John 15 and 26, but the helper, when the helper comes, I'll send him to you, the Father, from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me. You will testify also because you've been with me from the beginning. John 16 and verse 7, Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I go away, until I go away, I can't send the helper to you. But when I send him, you're going to have a great advantage. You're going to have a tremendous advantage in this life as a New Testament believer. And then over John 16 and verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. And then further down, he will disclose to you what is to come. I said the Holy Ghost, he's a revealer. He's an unveiler. He's an unfolder of things. Aren't you glad? And then over, we could go on and on with these scriptures, but the scripture tells us over and over again that God, the Holy Spirit, is there to lead us and to help us and to guide us into all the issues and affairs of life. And we are, that was my second point to you, the Holy Spirit. He is there. He's on the inside now to lead us and to guide us. And the third point was also our title, and that is you can train your spirit to be led. You can train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Train your spirit to follow the inward witness. Now here on this last point, our key scriptures here are Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Literally means that man's spirit, man's human spirit, is how God enlightens us. Proverbs 20, 27. Again, I'm quoting these scriptures fast because I quoted them last time. Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's literally where God enlightens us. It's the lamp of the Lord, the candle of the Lord, the enlightening of the Lord. In our mind, the mind of man is the candle of the Lord? No, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And then we gave you Romans 8, 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And then Romans 8 and 16. That the Spirit bears witness with our mind? No, the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Where does he bear witness? With our spirit, down on the inside. And so we said for the New Testament believer then, listen, for the New Testament believer, we've got to follow the inward witness. We've got to train our spirit to follow the inward witness. Now, this principle I didn't share with you, but let me give you this one for tonight. Look, never override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. Never override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. Now this bears repeating. Listen, the inward witness and the word of God always agree. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. You can get off on some goofed up stuff if you don't let the word, scripture, be your final authority. I said, if what you think is the inward witness disagrees with scripture, it ain't the inward witness. You missed it somewhere. But the inward witness will never contradict the word of God. It's so important that we share that principle, because people can get off that way. You can get off, I had somebody tell me one time, they said, well, I found my soulmate. Finding a soulmate is a good thing, but that person's already married. They talking about somebody different than their spouse. Well, that's a bunch of junk. You know, the moment a person told me that, I turned to a scripture in the Word. I turned my Bible around and said, here, I want you to read that. And the person read that, and I said, that directly contradicts everything you just said. And you know what the person told me? They said, I know. I can see it there. I turned to another scripture, said, read that. They read that. I said, that directly contradicts what you just told me. They said, I know it. I gave them another scripture. They read it, said the same thing. And you know what they said? They said, but I had a dream, and my dream seemed so real. I said, the Bible says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. What is your point, preacher? Listen, the inward witness will never disagree with the word of God. And if you got something goofed up you think is the inward witness, if it disagrees with the book, then cast that aside. That is not the inward witness. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Don't override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. And then we showed you how in Acts 27:10, Paul got on board that big coastal freighter. He got on board that big ship. It was loaded with freight. It was loaded with cargo. And in Acts 27:10, Paul got on as a prisoner. He wasn't the pilot of the ship. He wasn't the captain of the ship. He was a prisoner on the ship headed to Rome. And when he got on board that ship, he said, sirs, I perceive that there's going to be a great danger. There's going to be a loss of cargo. He said, there's going to be a great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives. He said, I perceive. Where was he getting? He was getting it down on the inside. He was getting an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. And of course, you know what they decided? They didn't listen to Paul. They took a majority vote. They took a majority opinion and set sail. And instantly, the Bible says a Euroquillo came down, a violent wind, blew them 200 miles off course, just like you snapped your finger. When the south wind was blowing, they took a majority opinion and started sailing. And a majority opinion can get you in a whole bunch of trouble. Never override an individual leading of the Holy Ghost. I remember one time years and years ago, I was buying a car, and I had already gone to to my bank and had a pre-approved loan, knew what I wanted to spend. And I had, the bank had approved my loan. And so when I went shopping for the car, I already knew the amount of money I could spend. Now the bank said that I could have more money if I needed, but I looked at my budget and I thought I don't want any more than that. That's all I can afford. That fits my budget. Don't want any more. And so I looked till I found the car that I liked that matched that price. And of course, the salesman, he was trying to sell me the car at a higher price, and I didn't want to pay the higher price. And then he did something I wasn't aware of. He called my banker. He asked me, hey, which bank do you use? I told him the name of the person. I shouldn't have done that. But anyway, he called over there and said, hey, you know, I'm about to sell, you know, a member of your bank, I'm about to sell him a car. And if I were to charge him another $1,000, would you loan it to him? So then the person unwittingly said, oh, sure. I told him he could have more money when he was here. And so then that person, when I went back to the dealership to make the final deal, that person said, well, I called your bank and they told me that they'd be willing to loan you the extra money and that's what the car is worth. And in my spirit, I knew, do not do this deal. Not this way. But I was tired, had been working hard, was busy. And you know what I did? I bought the car anyway. Paid $1,000 more than I should have. And then later, when I went to the bank, she said, oh, yeah, that car dealer called over here. And she said, I started to call you, but I figured you were there. She said, I thought he was calling for you, and I just wanted you to know, if you needed more money, we were going to give it to you. I said, I didn't know that. I only wanted to spend the amount. She said, oh, I'm so sorry. She said, well, you should have told him no. And I was thinking, I should have told him no. I overrode an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. And when you override the Holy Spirit, it's going to cost you. In that case, it cost me $1,000 extra. You say, that wasn't very much. Well, when I got to the point of paying the car off, when I was $1,000 away from paying it off, it bothered me real bad. Sometimes when you override the individual leading of the Holy Spirit, it can get you in trouble. It can cost you. Don't override the inward witness is like one side of a train rail, and the word of God is like the other side of the train rail, and they work in tandem. And if you eliminate one of those rails, the train's going to come off the track. There's going to be a faith train wreck somewhere down the road. I remember one time years ago when my wife and I, we moved away from Tulsa. Got up in our head, got up in our thinking. And getting up in the reasoning area, you know, sometimes we are so connected to our mind, and we develop our mind, we develop our bodies, oftentimes at the expense of our spirit. A preacher won't get an amen saying that. But really, we shouldn't neglect any of the three, our mind, body, and spirit. But if there's one that should dominate the other, our spirit should dominate our mind, and our spirit should dominate our body. Not the other way around. And we kept hearing, so many of our friends were coming, they'd come back to Tulsa. We'd been here for a long time. And they'd say, "You still here? You're still here? You guys should go start a church. You guys should go, you guys should move away." And at first it didn't bother us, but we kept listening to that. And if you, what you focus on, what you listen to, what you let yourself pay it, the Bible says, guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. You know, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. And if you don't guard what it is you're focusing on, that'll get down in your mind and your spirit. You can get off that way. And we kept listening to people say, "You should go. You should go." And we stopped listening here and we started listening here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oftentimes people miss God by 18 inches. You know, I would say that's the average distance between a person's heart and a person's head. The average distance is 18 inches. You can miss God by 18 inches. And we got up here, and man, we moved away. And I was still here. My family was in New Jersey. I was trying to get a job there. It just wouldn't pan out. I had promise. I had promises. Man, when this job is coming open on this date, and we are giving it to you. The job came open on that date, and the company said, no, don't give that job to anybody. They demoted somebody and put them in that position. And so I went to fasting and praying. You know, the Lord told me, "You did the wrong thing. You stopped following your heart. You let people talking get you out of your heart, out of your spirit, up in your head." I wish I had a bigger amen here. Don't override an individual leading of the Holy Spirit. It took 8 months to fix that mess. I was going from here every weekend. I was flying on a FedEx plane to Jersey every single weekend. I was in the air. You could fly free, and I was there. I'd leave here Friday night after I'd get off work, be in the air, get back here Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, be at work Monday. But the kids were in school, and my niece and nephew, and anyway, so we had to wait for them to get out of school. But it took 8 months to get that straightened out. And when we miss God, sometimes it'll cost us. Here's my next principle. The next principle now. Listen, if you do miss God, and we all have, listen, if you do miss God, just repent and go right back to following the inward witness. Woo, that's good. I did a better job saying that than y'all said amen. I said, if you do miss God, just repent about it. Don't waste any time. Just repent about it. Get right back and go right back to following the inward witness. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen on this point. Over in Proverbs 32, verse 8. Proverbs 32, verse 8. The Lord says there, talking to David and talking to you and I, because it's the word. Proverbs 32, verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye on you." Oh, that's a good scripture. That's my favorite scripture in all the Bible. Proverbs 32, verse 8. "I will instruct you." God's talking to you. Somebody said, "God's talking to me." Yeah. He said, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." Oh, that's a promise, ain't it? Oh my, that's a promise. You say, "I'm looking for help. I'm looking for direction for the Lord. I need to know whether to buy this house. I need to know whether to take this job. I need to know whether to make this decision or that financial investment. I need to know what to do." God said right there, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye on you." Don't you love that? But did you notice verse 9? "Only don't be like the horse or the mule." "Only don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check. Otherwise, they won't come near you." God, on the one hand, God is promising to lead us and guide us with his eye on us. On the other hand, he's telling us, "Be sensitive to it. Be sensitive to me." In other words, we have to know who's the horse and who's the rider. I said, a preacher wish I had an amen. I said, listen, we are the horse. The Lord is the rider. It is our responsibility to yield to him. But oh, when we yield to the rider. Now, where do we yield? We yield down on the inside. We yield on the inside. Go with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We have to train ourselves to follow the inward witness. Train ourselves to follow the inward witness. Listen, everybody's missed it at some time or another. And so don't put yourself in all kinds of condemnation and all that. And listen, everybody's missed it. Just get right back up and keep right on following the inward witness. Now, over in Acts chapter 15, a very important meeting is taking place. It's called the Council of Jerusalem. And what's happening here is that the church, the early church, they were divided over a particular question. And the question was, what will be the new pattern, or what we would say the New Testament pattern, for a person to get born again? Does that person have to first adopt the laws of Judaism and become a Jew? And after becoming a Jew, then you can convert them to Christianity? And there was lots of thought in the early church that you had to first convert people to Judaism and then get them born again to Christianity. And of course, we know today that's just not true. You know, by grace have you been saved through faith. Thank God, aren't you glad? But it wasn't clear to them back then. And so they convened a council in Acts chapter 15. It's around 49 AD. They convened a council, and they met together, and all the leaders of the church got together. And their question is, what is the decision of the church? Are people just born again by faith in Jesus alone? Is it faith and grace? Is it just faith in Jesus? Or is it Judaism and then getting them Christianity? And so they met to convene. And so I want you to take particular note. Acts 15 is where you are, right? 15:22. And 22, it says it seemed good. It seemed good. Let me turn over there with you. 15:22, then we'll go to 25, then we'll go to 28. 15:22, 15:25, 15:28. I'm reading from New American Standard Version, and in 15:22, it says this. Let's see here. Let me get one more chapter. All right, 15:22. It says, then it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to choose men from among them to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Okay, what's happening here is they just made the decision as to what happens. They realized that the church in Antioch and the church in Jerusalem, let me say it this way, the church up in Antioch had more Gentiles in it. And the church in Jerusalem had more Jewish people in it. And so both churches met together. Antioch had become a center of the church as well as Jerusalem. And both those groups came together to convene on this matter. And what they did is they took some brothers from the church at Antioch, and they sent them down to Jerusalem so that they could hear what the decision was. And then they decided to write a letter and send it back up to Antioch to explain what the decision was. And they had brothers who had come out of that church who verified, yes, I was at that meeting. Yes, that's what was decided. Those brothers authenticated the letter. But how did they decide that? It seemed good to them that they should send somebody up there. And then you see that word, that phrase again in verse 25, Acts 16 and 25. And again, it says that it seemed good. It seemed good there in verse 25. It seemed good to us, having become of one mind, to select men to send to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And then look at Acts 16:28. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. This time it says it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So they decided at this meeting that faith in Jesus is all you need. Aren't you glad about that? Faith in Jesus is all we need. And glory to God, what was decided at that meeting is still the New Testament pattern today. Glory to God. Faith in Jesus is all you need. If you need Christ tonight, faith in Jesus, faith in his death on the cross, that he's the Son of God, that he died for you, that he paid the price for your sins, that God raised him from the dead. Faith in that will get you to be born again. Hallelujah. Faith in Jesus is all we need. And so they said it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost. How did they come up with the decision? By saying something. It seemed good. It sounds very similar to what Paul was saying in Acts 27:10, sirs, I perceive. It seemed good. It just, what were they saying? It seemed right on the inside. What were they doing? They were following the inward witness. Sometimes people are looking for a literal voice, and God can speak. He can speak with a literal voice. And so there is a still small voice. God can speak that way. But the main way he's chosen to reveal himself to the New Testament believer is through the inward witness. He's on the inside. He's Jesus, the hope of glory, down on the inside. And I tell you, he can give you that just good velvety feeling. I remember one time my son and she's my daughter-in-law now, but they were just dating then. And they were going to OSU, and they had come home for the weekend. And so we fed them Sunday dinner, and they were getting ready to head out. And so just like any time they would leave, we gather hands we hold hands and pray. And so we held hands to pray. And so as we bowed our head, I was just alerted in my spirit. Just the moment we touched hands, I was just alerted in my gut. And so I told them, I stopped our prayer and I said, I told my son, my daughter-in-law, she's my daughter-in-law now. I said, the two of you need to spend more time developing your spirit, the sensitivity to your spirit. Because I just don't feel like you're supposed to go. There's some kind of danger. And you need to wait here. And the only thing I could think of was Brother Hagin had told that story that had so encouraged me all those years. And about, he told the story about a man who was leaving for vacation and prayed and asked the Lord, you know, to bless the trip. And then he left and had a terrible accident. And at some point later, he's asking Brother Hagin, well, I prayed and asked the Lord to protect me. And then how come now I had this accident? And Brother Hagin was making the point, did you sense anything on the inside before you left? And he said, oh, yeah, there was a scratching or something down on the inside. And Brother Hagin was saying, well, that was the Holy Spirit speaking in your spirit. And he was trying to get you not to go. You needed to follow that. And so Brother Hagin said, what would have happened? It seemed like when I had that feeling, it seemed like I should wait 10 minutes. And then Brother Hagin said, what would have happened if you'd waited that 10 minutes? He said, well, I would have avoided all that. I'm telling my kids a story. You know, Brother Hagin told a couple stories along this line. I'm telling them that story about how it pays to be sensitive to your spirit and how I knew they were not supposed to leave right then. And so whatever, they stayed another, I don't know, maybe it was an extra 10, 12 minutes while I told that story. And then when I got done saying that, man, I just had such peace when we got done talking about it. We started talking about how following your spirit. Had such peace. Woo, man, just felt so good. I just said, all right, kids, well, I love you. You know, you guys be good. And we hugged them and kissed them. They went on down the road. They got out there on Highway 412 headed towards Stillwater. And there was a terrible accident. Stephen, I've never heard Stephen from before that day or since that day. I thought he had been in an accident when he called me. He was so upset. I've never heard his voice like that. I was alarmed when he called me. And he said, oh, dad. And I said, boy, you all right? You all right? He said, dad, there's a bad accident. And he said, there are people in the road that are dead. They're just lying in the road. Traffic stopped both ways. He said, people are lying in the road dead. And he said, dad, do you know, I know right now I would have been in that accident. I would have been right in the middle of it. We have to train our spirit to follow the inward witness because God is speaking to us more often than we realize. And sometimes if we're looking for some type of outside entity, something outside, some outward thing, well, the enemy can accommodate that. And you start looking for voices and listening for voices, and then the enemy will accommodate that real quick. But what's necessary is down on the inside of you. And if we'll train, we all have to do this, train our spirit. You're a single person. You need to follow the inward witness. You fall down on the inside. Oh, man. We could go on. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. We've endeavored in our time to share what you laid on our heart. And we realize that you take your word now, you use it differently in the lives of every single person. And so use your word now effectively by your Holy Spirit. And Father, where we need to develop ourselves, we know we are all individually your children. We're corporately your children, but we are individually your children. And Father, show us how to apply this word. And we pledge ourselves to be faithful in developing our spirits and being sensitive to you, to follow that inward leading, that inward witness down on the inside. Thank you for Romans 8:14. that all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:16, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Father, thank you for leading us and guiding us in tough times economically in the world or in good times economically in the world. It really doesn't matter. We know that for us, it's going to get brighter and brighter. But for it to get brighter and brighter, we have to continue to follow the inward leading of the Holy Spirit and follow your word. So bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, that's it for tonight. If you're here and you need to know Christ, then tonight is your night. And you can pray and receive Christ right now, and he'll help you. He'll strengthen you. Just before we go, anybody here, just wave at me real big. You say, I need prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to rededicate my life. Just wave at me real big. Is anybody here like that? Because we'll pray for you if you are. Anybody? All right. Well, we look like we're all set. So, all right. Well, we want you to remember, listen, be here Wednesday for Hour of Power. It'll be a mighty, mighty word. And then be back here Sunday. Man, and before you leave, you will bless your socks off if you go and get Pastor's message from this morning. Hasn't this series he's been teaching been good? Using Joseph as the example and bringing different messages. And today, that message on the favor of God, oh man, it's ready out there in the bookstore. So you be back here Wednesday. Other than that, all hearts and minds clear. All right, then you are good to go. We'll see you Wednesday. Be safe. Have a good week. God bless.